Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to the show. Welcome to season 4, episode 1 of the 100 AfterBuzz TV After Show. I'm your host, I'm your co-host, I'm your panelist. It's a solo show tonight. Welcome back. I'm happy to see you all. Happy to see all your faces, even though I can't see you. I hope you're okay seeing mine. And we're going to do a whole show of call-ins and fun stuff, so we'll see you in just 1 second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hello. Welcome to the show. Welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV, the 100 After Show for Season 4, Episode 1, titled Echoes. I am your host, Ben Bateman. You're used to seeing Tari J in this seat with Alexis Torres here, and then I'm usually on the end over there, and I go on tangents and things like that. Alexis was going to join me tonight. Unfortunately, she's come down with a cold, and it's kind of a bummer because we love Alexis and nobody wants to see Alexis sick. And obviously, I'm just going to be talking to the camera now and you guys are going to be listening to me talk. So this was an exciting episode, and it's really, really exciting to have the show back. This is the 4th season of The 100, and this was the first show I ever did an after show for at AfterBuzz TV. My very first day at AfterBuzz TV was The 100 Season 2 Episode 1. With Tari he's my mentor. He like taught me how to do this whole after show game. So I'm gonna be taking calls throughout the episode. I've got my man up in the booth, Steve. How you doing?
How you all doing?
We're doing great, man. We're doing great. Thanks for working the phones and if we can throw the chat up on the screen,
yes, sir.
As large as possible, so I can sort of see what's going on.
Everybody in the live chat, feel free to call in at AfterBuzz TV. Numbers at 424-256-1633. Again, the number is 424-256-1633. Take it away, Ben.
So 424-256-1633, and we'll take calls all throughout the episode, guys. We have a couple special guest friends of mine that will probably be calling in. I tweeted at William Shatner earlier. He tweeted back at me immediately and was like, "Of course I'm gonna be watching The 100," which is bizarre because like I didn't even follow William Shatner at that point, but now I do, and maybe he'll call in, so that's awesome. Shatner's great. I interviewed him at the NBC carpets recently. So we're back. We're back, bitches, as they so famously said in season 1. There's a lot of unrest going on right now, as there seems to always be a lot of unrest going on, right? Like, kind of seems like the trajectory of this show is huge problem, bunch of people running around trying to fix the problem, people getting shot and stabbed and things going on and just like trying to, you know, fix it and fix the wounds and things like that. And then they'll solve one problem and there's just always another one. Like they never, ever, ever get to just like kick back and have like that episode of Lost where they go play golf. Like that never happens in The 100. It's always one thing after another thing after another thing. So hi guys in the chat. Hello. I'm so happy to see you up in the chat. And I hope you call in so you can chat about things with me because I have so many questions, but I will be answering them myself. So that sort of seems like what's going on with the show right now. We open up really like in the aftermath of what's just happened last season at the very, very end of it. So we had like the surprise stabbing of Pike. We did not see Pike, so I think it's safe to assume Pike is in fact dead. Octavia stabbed Pike. Man, Octavia is just so sweet, right? I mean, it's crazy. She started out season 1 and she was totally like this like meek character, this meek girl who had lived under a floorboard for a long time, and her whole relationship to Bellamy in those first 4 episodes, she was kind of an annoying character. They like really didn't give her legs. And then as the show's gone on, I mean, my goodness, she has just gotten cooler and cooler and cooler, and like she just, I feel like she gets all the best moments now. Lexa kind of used to get the coolest moments, or maybe Indra and Lexa, because like they were like war people, but I sort of feel like it's Octavia now gets all of the best moments. So good to see her pull like that sweet move where she slides on her knees and slices the Ice Nation dudes in the back of the legs and stabs them both, then throws the spear. Yeah, she's super sarcastic and scary now, says Katie. Yeah, she's great. She's like she's easily the most entertaining like badass on the show at this point. Even though I think Adina Porter, who plays Indra, is absolutely phenomenal. Like I'm like just a big fan of her in general. She's actually on a show called Underground on WGN, which I haven't watched, but I've heard is really, really, really good. So anyway, we open up here and Octavia's like climbing out of the tower in Polis, and they get down and there's like all this like craziness because now Clark knows what's up because of Allie, that, like, there's these reactors, later referenced in the episode by Raven as after the second Fukushima meltdown. So I guess that's supposed to be a poke or a prod at what's going on, unless I missed in my lifetime that this crazy Fukushima meltdown from a couple years ago was actually the second one. I think that they were making a play on the idea that, like, there will be another one. Steve, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think that Fukushima disaster was the first, correct?
I believe so, yes.
So Raven's comment about the second Fukushima meltdown in reference to the reactors around the world means that now everybody is aware. Everybody's aware, and as the episode went on, more and more people found out about the fact that the world is going to end in a nuclear meltdown in about 6 months. And so we start out the episode, and people are kind of pacing around Polis, like everybody's trying to figure out. Jaha gets, you know, he gets to, let's see here, since time doesn't go very fast on the show, I think the events of season one and two took place within a few months. Do you think this season will go by faster than normal? That's a good question, Diana S. I will ponder that one, and maybe we'll get to like a timeline chronology thing as we move forward in the episode. So, but thank you for asking the question. So we're kind of around the city, and everybody's trying to figure out what the next step is, what's going on, and all of a sudden we find out that Prince Rowan's alive. And I guess if you follow the actors and the show on Twitter or anything like that, we all knew that he was alive because he was elevated to a series regular. And just like the Hollywood part of us, you know, that tracks blogs and whatnot, that was common knowledge. But I don't think they gave us any reason to believe last season that he was any more alive than, say, Pike is. Like, he got shot. It looked like in the neck or something like that. I feel like he was just dead. So he's got a bullet in his chest. It wasn't the neck. And Clark's like, we can save him. You know, we can do what we always do. We'll save people. You know, Mom, I need a doctor. And then they get confronted, and there's this whole crazy showdown. So right before the, or maybe it's right after the showdown, there's a whole conversation about the various crews, because we got Sky Crew, we got Tree Crew. Indra makes reference to Rockline, Flow Crew, and Broadleaf. And then Pike's like, well, there's 8 other clans. What's it going to take for them to join? So I started looking up the different clans, the different symbols, to see which ones we've heard of and which ones we haven't. Correct me if I'm wrong here, guys who are listening or watching. I don't think that we've heard very much about the other 8 clans. In fact, Broadleaf and Flow Crew and Rockline, is that the first time we've ever heard of those clans? I kind of think it is. If you guys want to share and jump into the conversation here as well, if you don't want to just call in, you can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. So tweet at me, because I got Twitter open here so that I can at least hear what you guys are thinking, what you're talking about. Yes, that was what I was thinking. Where's Alexis? Renji9099H. She has a cold tonight, a really bad one, so she couldn't make it. So tweet Atorres890 and let her know that you guys miss her and you want her to feel better. So in just a minute here, we have a special guest calling in, 100 aficionado, who's interviewed a bunch of the cast as well and is just a big fan of the show, to continue taking us through. So we cut away after this whole conversation about the various crews. Flow Crew is Luna's clan. Yeah, that's right. The rest of them, we only know them by name, I guess. There you go. So that seems about right. And this is assuming that, you know, Sky Crew is the 13th clan or what have you. So after this whole, like, initial interaction and craziness, we get our gang all locked up because Clark's like, we have to surrender so that we can infiltrate. And, you know, she's like, I have an idea. That's where we get the sweet Octavia. She's like, pretends to be a dead thing, and she gets out of it, and she kills a bunch of people, kills a bunch of fools. And then they get the bullet out of Rowan, and they narrowly get saved. They like narrowly get saved. And Rowan wakes up and he's like, oh man, what happened? What happened to Antari? And it's like, I feel like there was a bunch of sympathy towards Antari. Everybody was talking about it like, oh, you killed Antari. And everybody's like, oh, you killed the commander. It's like, she was the worst. Did nobody else pick up on the fact that she was just the worst? I mean, she was like just a crazy tyrant, and she was like blood hungry, and she like couldn't even take the flame properly, I think. I seem to remember that happened last season. So anyway, I'm gonna send a message here to our special guest. Call in.
Yep, we got a caller.
Oh, we have a caller right now?
Yes, sir. We're on the air.
Hi, this is Mackenzie.
Hey, Mackenzie. Welcome to the show. Welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, guys. So we have Mackenzie Morrell on the line from NoWhiteNoise.com. She's another like big time online entertainment journalist, the 100 fan. We've conversed back and forth about this show a bunch over the last couple years, and this is the first time. Mm-hmm. It's the first time we're having you as a guest. This is in fact the first time I've actually heard your voice, because we're just a text or Twitter friendship normally.
Right. It's real life.
Yeah, it's crazy. This is happening. So, what do you think of the premiere?
Well, you know, overall, I thought it was a pretty solid start to the season. I mean, at times, I really felt like they were just trying to shove everything down our throat at once. But hopefully, as the season progresses, it'll slow down a bit, and we'll get to focus on the subplots versus just having it all at once.
Right. And guys, if you want to follow along or respond to what Mackenzie has to say, you can find her at Mackenzie Lynn. That's MckenzieLyn, at Mackenzie Lynn. So I was just the next point I was just going to get on to, and maybe you want to help me with this one, is we move over to what's going on at Arcadia with obviously this new relationship between Chelsea Rice's character Harper and Chris Larkin, and we get Jasper in this like totally weird state of mind, which it turns out is a suicidal state of mind. That was kind of alarming. I thought I knew that when they showed him with the gun that it wasn't really going to happen this episode. What did you think?
Well, I mean, kind of stemming off last season, we did, they did reveal that, you know, Jasper was supposed to commit suicide last season. So I think that they switched gears just because, obviously, everything happened with Lexa, Lincoln, and, you know, there was a lot of backlash with the show. So I think they were just like, let's stay away from this right now, and they were going to address it in the next season. You know, when I saw that scene, I was like, oh, man, like, is this going to happen right now? Like, season premiere, we're just going to off Jasper? And I do think that, like, as it goes on, either it's going to happen or they're going to just kind of switch gears. And now that he knows that the world's going to end, he's just going to be like, oh, well, you know, the world's going to end. Let's just do what we want because I don't have to have that pressure anymore. So I'm not really sure which way they're going to go. Do you have any feelings either way?
Well, I think it's pretty funny that guy has managed to survive. Devin Bostick is like so lucky to have stayed in working with the show for so long. He was supposed to die in the pilot. I mean, mm-hmm. This is like he's just stayed around for so long, and I mean, I like him on the show, but I do have to say I thought that with the moment, the kind of mopey with the handgun, the whole thing they were building towards, and like I said, I really didn't think it was going to happen this episode. I thought it was kind of a shock thing, but even so, making him so emotional and continuing to be so emotional in this show, I'm finding it a little distracting. It was a little distracting and a little frustrating last season, and it makes sense that he was supposed to go at the end of last season. But for him to wake up and season four to start and him to still be this way, it's a little bit like that was the one part of the episode that I was just like, really? Like, come on. Can we?
He's kind of in his own world. I mean, I think that he's kind of focused on all this pain that he's had. I mean, ultimately, yes, everybody has had pain on that show, and he's very distraught over, you know, losing Maya. It's been two seasons at this point. So, I mean, not saying like, oh, get over it, but just there are other things going on, and he's not really being a team player. So I kind of got frustrated with that, hey, you know, there's this other thing at work and you're not going to go with your friends and try and help them survive. You're just going to kind of take your life and you know, do what you have to do. I mean, to each his own, but at the same time, I'm pulling for him to just kind of turn things around and like actually help them, but I don't see that happening.
Right. Yeah, I agree. So pivoting for a second, does Zach McGowan have the best set of abs left on the show?
Yes, I definitely think he got more abs from last season. I'm so excited for him to be a series regular. I'm not sure I'm sold with his position right now.
The way he's positioning his core and his torso when he's standing, is that what you mean?
Yeah, that too. Just as the king, I think that he's doesn't seem weak, but he's just you know, the abs, he's got that going for him. So I'm hoping that he turns things around.
Well, yeah, once Ricky Whittle's abs left the show, you know, there were some abs we had to replace. And
right.
I think, you know, Zach's doing a good job with that. So the last character we had in Arcadia, and for the record, I'm actually really graphic grunt. I agree. I hope you're referring to the abs. So I think that the elevation of Chelsea Rice's character of Harper to be a little bit more of a series. I don't think she's a series regular, but I think she's supposed to have more of an arc this season.
No, I think she's a series regular. I think she was tweeting about it tonight.
She was, and same with Miller. Is that the deal? Both of them?
Yep, I think they both ascended to the series regular position.
Cool. So I was happy to see that, and her relationship to Monty. That's nice. I liked their relationship, though they did have a bit of a rude awakening when Raven's like, I'm not going to knock. We're all going to die. See you in the next room.
I know you're a fan of Lindsay Morgan, as am I. I mean, she just has this like impeccably bad timing. Mm. She's bursting both times after they've had sex and has no regard for, like, hey, let me just take a second to let them compose themselves and put clothes on, maybe. She just jumps in there. It's like, hey, we have 6 months to live. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, I guess at the same time, like, would you really be that upset if you were them and she walked in and she's like, so there's a bunch of nukes, we're all going to die. I just needed to tell you, but I didn't want to knock. You'd be like, well, I guess you're kind of justified. That seems reasonable.
Yeah, I think so. And at this point, I think Monty's just so happy that, like, somebody likes him and that he's getting some, that he's just like, come on in. I want to show everybody that this is happening.
Yeah, right. When he said, when everybody comes back, like, I won't be surprised if you won't expect anything. And she's like, what if I do? I was sort of surprised that he said that. That was like, he was just sort of saying, like, we did this because everybody was gone. And if you don't want to keep mm-hmm. doing this when people get back, that's what he was getting at. That seems like such a strange thing to say. Like, what does that have to do with anything?
Well, I mean, I think he just is insecure, and he just doesn't know if, hey, just because we thought, you know, we're going to die in this instance, that, you know, she was just, it was a relationship of convenience. I think he was kind of getting at that, like, hey, are we really in this thing, or are you just having fun because you thought you were going to die? So clearly it shows that she really does have feelings for him and wants to continue it, but it's, at the same time, how can relationships progress when the world is ending? I mean, I would not be thinking about that. I don't know if you'd feel differently, but it's just like there's so many other things going on that I'm just not like, hey, let me make this relationship work right now.
Yeah, right. Like relationship goals in the midst of a nuclear meltdown. I mean, I feel, I don't know, like it is a CW show, so there has to be a certain amount of like, you know, angst and relationship stuff like that amongst young characters. It seems to be like par for the course. You have to have it in these shows.
Definitely.
Yeah. Do you think that this is going to be the final season of this show? I found myself sitting there watching and thinking, like, I like what they're doing, but they're building towards something here that I'm sort of trying to figure out what would be the next step. If they're, you know, if they're fighting like nuclear holocaust and they can solve the problem and they can avoid it. I'm curious. You mentioned the controversy from last season, and nobody really wants to go anywhere near that. I'm not really interested in talking about it anymore. The discourse on that is, you know, behind us, but this is kind of a little bit of a clean slate season, but I do know that I felt like there was just some conversation online about this, and maybe I'm just imagining it, but I feel like there's a sense that this is going to be the final season. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of people do think it's going to be the final season, just one, because everybody's still kind of upset and they want it to be the end. Also, it's like, where do you go from here? I mean, are they going to get out of this? There's no way that the whole game is going to get out of this, like, unscathed. So I definitely think that there are going to be a lot of people who die. There could be somewhere that they go for the next season. I hope there's another season, just because it'd be interesting to see really how they would progress from this. I mean, once you kind of end the world, it's like, where do you go from there? So that might be an interesting thing to see them attempt. I know that there's just a lot of rumblings that yes, it's the end, but I don't know. I have a feeling that it's not.
Yeah, you could be right. Somebody on here said, Katie says that Jason said they're planning on a season 5. I do have to say, you know, I checked his Twitter tonight for the first time in a very, very, very long time. Rothenberg either was told to never use Twitter again or just decided to not use Twitter after all of the controversy last year. He hasn't tweeted since March. In no way am I saying that I hope to read a lot of Jason Rothenberg's tweets, but from the point of view of being a fan of the show and wanting as much information as possible about the show, it's a shame that he can't share that information anymore because he just doesn't use Twitter. And that's kind of, you know, that sort of sucks, that just like the writer's room is helpful to some degree, but I sort of wish that channel, because he used to share quite a bit of stuff. So anyway, as we continue to move through this episode, I already sort of mentioned the reference to the second Fukushima that that Raven drops, which is like this pretty nice little reference there. How did you feel about Echo, her bargaining with Bellamy, and then finally her scene with Rowan at the end there, she seemed like a perfectly fine and believable actress for most of the episode. And then when she was talking to Rowan at the end, I was like, what happened? I was like, this is legitimately cardboard acting. Like, I was blown away by it. I was like, I'm visibly annoyed by this right now. Did you pick up on that at all?
I felt that a little bit. I think that she's going to be that character that you're going to love to hate and hate to love. Much with Pike, I think that some people, like most people, hated him, but there were a few select few who thought he had some redeeming qualities. I think that she kind of she's pretty overpowering in the beginning, and that's why you're like, oh, hey, this is different. She's like kind of going against things. She's trying to take power. And then at the end, she kind of just is like, it's just like, oh, you know, I'm going to do a cookie cardboard cutout of this. So I did kind of get that sense. I'm hoping that it changes as it goes on, but it's like very hard to tell because it's only been one episode and we had like 5,000 commercials. I was like, are you serious?
There's
another commercial?
Outrageous. Yeah. So many. When do you think we can expect to see Luna come back?
Episode 5. I'm making this up. I have no credibility whatsoever. But I'm just going to say episode 5. We're going to see her.
Yeah, I hope. She was great. The brief moments that we did get. And then the question for you I have is with Murphy and his escape with him and Amori, right? That's his girl? Yeah, Amori. Antari is the... Okay, so I mix the two names up sometimes. So he and Amori take off after he says, go float yourself to Jaha once again. Which, by the way, can we just talk about... So the go float yourself joke is a joke they've used before. And obviously they can't curse on this show. But, like, float is kill. If you get floated, you're dead.
Yep.
So, like, you're not actually saying go F yourself. You're saying go kill yourself. It's kind of a drastic thing to say to someone. Right?
Yeah, definitely. I think they're trying to get around that whole, like, we can't swear on the CW, but it works sometimes.
Yeah.
I catch myself saying it.
Yeah, it's funny enough. So what do you think's going on there? They didn't really give us a whole lot of information with the Murphy plan. He's just said he's got a better idea and they're taking off.
No, and that's the thing. I think I'm, like, super disappointed in Murphy, which, like, I hate to say that because I love Richard Harmon. I think he's so talented. And that character, I hated him in the beginning. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, my God, I love you. You need to just be in every episode. I think that I really wanted him to kind of join the group. And he was an important part of last season. I mean, he essentially saved Clark. So I think that was very overlooked in just the whole season. But for him to just be like, okay, you know, forget this, I'm not going to go and help, you know, my people out, I'm just going to leave with the girl, I was like, really, man? Like, come on, like, I had such high hopes for you, but maybe he's got something up his sleeve and he's going to, like, come back and shock us all. I don't know.
All right, so Renji90998 on YouTube asks the question, should Clark have a new love or stay single? Because this was the last thing I was going to bring up. I really loved the moment at the end of the episode where Clark got to finally tell her mom that she loved Lexa. I thought that was great.
That was so important.
Yeah, yeah, right? Like,
I think that was really important.
It just felt like one of those, like, you don't really get those moments very often from Clark where she's just like, I'm going to be a vulnerable teenager to my mom or to anyone. She always tries to act so strong and she has to act so strong, and I just thought that was a really nice moment. She was allowed to do that. She had the moment to do that. And I kind of feel like at this point, you know, putting Clark together with anybody romantically is going to be an uphill battle for them. I think that's a tough thing to do now. What do you think about that?
I definitely think it would be, you know, naive of us to say that she was never going to love again. I mean, in real life, you move on and you go to the next person. I know that it's difficult. I mean, I'm a collector shipper, so it was very hard for me when that kind of ended abruptly. But at the same time, you know, it's a show. We need to move on. There's more story to tell. So I definitely think that they are setting her up for, you know, a new encounter. I'm not sure if it's love, but I definitely think that somebody along the way is going to, you know, provide that much needed, you know, human contact for her. Whether it's love or not, I guess we'll find out. But I think it's necessary. I mean, she's, what is she now, like 17 or something? She's going to, you know, she's never not going to love again. So I think it would be naive for us to say that she wouldn't.
You think Bell Arc's ever going to happen, or is this just no chance?
I don't think so. I mean, who knows? They'll probably, like, throw that at us at season 5 when the world's about to, like, end for real. And all of a sudden they're, like, making out. But I don't know about this season. I don't think so.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, Mackenzie, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate the help holding down the fort. This was a lot of fun. It's nice to get to chat with you. Hopefully we can have you call in again another time in the season. And again, if you folks want to follow along with Mackenzie and find out what she's got going on, you've interviewed a bunch of cast members and you write a bunch of cool stuff. That's nowhitenoise.com. You can follow her at Mackenzie Lynn. That's at MckenzieLyn. Thanks a lot, Mackenzie. Really appreciate it.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care. All right, so with just a few more minutes here, I will open the phone lines one more time just in case anybody else wants to call in for a quick hello. If not, I will start to wind through the wrap-up here. Steve, we have nobody else waiting on the line, do we?
That's correct. However, the number is 424-256-1633. Take it away.
Cool. 424-256-1633. If anybody wants to call in and say hello, any of you guys in the chat, anybody, phone lines are open. So, yeah, that covered most of what happened in the episode. A couple things we didn't mention are we had a conversation between Echo and Rowan that I referenced the performance from Echo, which I thought was a little weak. But she does mention that Rowan should achieve what, you know, he basically, oh, here you go. What's the number? How do I call in? It's 424-256-1633. That is the number. So feel free to call in and say hello. He's referenced as the eldest son of Naya and the grandson of Theo, and he's wearing this crown, and he wants to essentially...
Got a caller.
Oh, we got a caller.
Hello, AfterBuzz TV, you're on the air?
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on? How's it going?
Pretty good. I just wanted to say, I am a big shipper, so I want Bellark together. And I think, I watched an interview, at Comic-Con,
right,
or something a couple of years ago, and you know the people that played Bellark and Clark, they both said, "Oh, it's never gonna happen" or whatever. The writer totally stopped it. Like, I never said that was not gonna happen. Like, I think it's a big possibility, and to me, it sounded like he was like, the fans actually might have a good idea, and like I might figure out how to work this way in the story. I'm putting it like this. This is a CW show. I will be surprised if Bellark doesn't happen at some point. I think that will happen.
You think that's a foregone conclusion because it says the fans want it and that's kind of how it works?
And also, I just think it would be good for the show. Besides which, if they're really going to end the world, I don't see them I'm not sure if they're going to actually end everything because that would just mean the show was going to end.
Right.
And, you know, in order to stay on CW, you only have to have like a million and something views. Their highest rated program is like 3 million views or 2 million views or something with like all the DC shows or whatever. So the pressure to stay on the air compared to other networks is not that high. And if they're going to have a season 6, yes, I think there will be Bellark. If this is the last season, because the world literally ends, then all bets off.
So Priscilla Palma, one minute. Oh, here you go. Great. Somebody typed in the number. What's your name, man?
Jalen.
Jalen?
Yeah.
Thanks.
I followed you on Twitter. Can you follow me back?
Yeah, I got you, man. I got you.
At Jalen Gittins.
At Jalen Gittins. Oh, yeah. We tweet back and forth. I'm sorry, man. I'll follow you as soon as I'm not trying to operate all the things. But I promise. And if I don't by the end of that, you tweet me, and I guarantee I'll do it. Yeah, absolutely. With the Bellark thing, I'll tell you, I just think, I don't think they should do it. At this point in the show, after Clexa and the warring factions of fandoms, it just feels like...
I never believed in Clexa that much.
That wasn't for you, huh?
No, because I didn't really... Here's the thing. You can have a people do a lesbian relationship, but don't give me somebody became a lesbian after you've already shown them with another guy or whatever, just because you want to have some kind of progressive storyline.
So I don't know.
I never really bought that one.
I disagree with you there.
I never really bought that one to begin with.
Yeah, I gotta disagree with you there. I think in real life, you know, people go with their heart, and it's those lines like get crossed, they get blurred, and it's really about how you feel. And so, also with Clark being such a young character, I don't think it's too unbelievable that she would have that change of heart. But it's obviously a very a hot button topic. The two ships. So we'll move on from it.
I didn't mind two girls getting together. It just didn't seem organic in the show.
No, I get you. Yeah, you're saying from a character standpoint, you didn't buy it. No, I get that. Yeah. All right, well, I'm going to take one last call here before we wrap up the show. Jalen, thank you so much for calling in. I promise you I will follow you on Twitter. And thanks for tuning in and watching the show. I really appreciate it, man. Oh. We lost the call. All right, Jalen. Well, if you're listening still, I appreciate it. Did we have another call or no?
Hello, AfterBuzz TV. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, what's going on? How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. What's your name?
Mary.
Hey, Mary.
Chicago.
Cool. Thanks for calling in, Mary. So what did you think about the episode?
I thought it was a really solid episode. I do think it was kind of just jam-packed with trying to catch up from season 3, for sure.
Did anything stick out at you as like particularly relevant, a favorite moment, perhaps a moment that you really didn't like?
I think it was all pretty good, but what I was thinking about is, like, them trying to solve the problem for, like, what they're going to do about the reactors. And I thought back to season 3, it really wasn't a smart idea to have blown up the mountain, because now they can't use that at all for a bunker.
Right, they're screwed now without Mount Weather. Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame on that one. What do you think is the highest likelihood of first character to die on the show this season? Who's the first major death you're suspecting?
I think that's a tough one. I'm thinking it's Monty.
Yeah.
If that is just to say, I think it's going to be Monty, because I feel like his story arc is just starting to change so drastically now.
Yeah.
Especially with season 3, and then I definitely think that it's going to be Monty.
That'd be a shame. Sure. That'd be a real shame with his budding relationship with Harper. Well, I appreciate you calling in. I really do. I appreciate you watching the show, and this was fun to do solo. So promise me you'll call in again next time we do open the phone lines.
I will do. Yeah, thank you. You're doing an awesome job. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mary. I appreciate it. Have a great night.
Thank you, too.
All right, take care. All right. I think that pretty much wraps us up, unless we had any other calls waiting on the line.
No, sir, not the moment.
All right, great. Well, if we get one more, we can do a quick hello, and otherwise I guess I can kind of bring us into predictions here. So,
predictions?
Predictions, yes.
Now, you're after Buzz TV. Predictions.
Oh, do we have another call coming in?
Literally on the audio cue there, yeah. Hang on, stand by.
All right, we'll do predictions with this caller.
All right, after Buzz TV, you're on the air.
Hello?
Oh, hello?
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 Hello. Hey, what's going on? Who's this?
This is Christina.
Hey, Christina, what's going on? How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you. You're joining me for my prediction segment tonight.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is this for the 100 or is this a different?
Yeah. This is for the 100. We're just, you know, we always wrap it up at the end of the after show with a couple predictions about the season. And I was just about to start rambling them off so we can bounce them off each other. This will be fun. Are you up for it?
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask Ben what he thinks his predictions are, because to me, this kind of seems like a little, the season, it seems a little stale. So I wasn't quite sure if,
cool.
What his thoughts were. But.
No, this is Ben. You're talking to Ben.
Oh, God. Hi.
Yeah, how's it going?
Yeah, sorry. The stream,
okay,
the stream
so it's
might actually
on
be.
Here. This is why it's so confusing.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
The stream might actually be about a minute behind the live feed.
Okay, perfect.
That makes sense.
So yeah. It'll catch up. Yeah,
welcome,
yeah.
Welcome aboard.
My predictions thus far, thank you, Carolyn, Damien. I appreciate nice suit. I appreciate that. I would say my predictions thus far would be I don't think they're going to pull the punches on Jasper. I think Jasper's out. I think he's gonna bite the bullet. I think he's gonna take his own life in the next couple episodes. And I think the idea that he walked out and he's like, "I'm gonna go watch the sunrise." I think they were thinking, you know, I don't know. Like, I think they're just teasing us. I think he's gonna do it. That's one thing. I'm excited for Luna to come back. I think Luna might even come back like next week, maybe the week after. But I think she'll be back pretty quick here. Those would be the first two that jumped out at me. And my other prediction is I believe this will be the last season of the show. people were saying that Rothenberg had said that there'll be a fifth season. I get the feeling that they will call it in season four. I could be dead wrong about that, but that's just what my gut tells me. What about you?
Yeah, that's what I've heard too. I heard that Jason was kind of hinting at possibly a season five to be like the last one, but I don't know honestly how far I see it going after this season. But I am very curious to see how other clans are going to play a part in the season. I'd like to see more, like the Desert Clan.
Yeah, definitely. Well, because they made that reference early on to the three clan names, only one of which we knew about, right? Flow Crew was Luna's clan, but like Rockline and Broadleaf. So there's all these other clans. I was looking it up and reading about them, and most of them I hadn't heard of. So maybe we'll get to see a bunch of sweet clans and symbols and all kinds of cool stuff.
Definitely. I think they'd be crazy not to bring in more Grounder clans into the show.
Do you think that Clark will ever love again on the show?
I think, like you were talking about, she's pretty young, and I think she's going to form connections. And I think it's possible that she may lean on somebody and form that kind of connection. I'd be up for it, but I don't think that's the center focus for this season.
Excellent. What's one thing you'd like to see here before we wrap up? What's one thing you'd like to see this season? Something your dream that you're hoping you see?
Ooh. That's a good question. I don't know if I thought much about it. I'm kind of just taking it as a go. I really didn't even watch like many trailers because I kind of just want to be surprised.
Yeah.
Of what's going to happen. Yeah. So I don't know. What about you?
I would like to see a fulfilling relationship, a romantic fulfilling relationship for Raven, for Lindsay Morgan. I feel like she got the short end of the stick. She's only had like,
she really does.
She just hasn't
she
gotten
really
to be
does
happy.
Have the short end.
And it'd be nice to see that. I think that at this point, she's been a series regular for 4 years, and she lost Finn early on, and you know that was obviously an incredibly meaningful loss. And then she had, you know, what was his name? Wick? Was that his name? Stick? Wick? It was
right.
Wick.
Wick. Yes.
Yeah, and he kind of sucked, and then he got in trouble, so they got rid of him. And she, you know, she slept with Bellamy early on when the show was a little bit more, you know, a little bit more 90210 than it is now, and she just hasn't really gotten to be with anybody and like have a meaningful relationship. I feel like she's been kind of shafted on that in that front. You know, you even got like Monty and Harper who are like finding love, but you know, Raven's just kind of left to repair the command center and control stations and be a hacker.
Oh, I totally agree, and she's pulling a lot of weight for that for the Sky Crew right now, and it'd be nice to see her like get some sort of reward of some kind.
Yes, absolutely. Well, with that, we are going to wrap up the episode. Thank you for being the final caller of the night. It's wonderful to talk to you and great to meet you, and I hope you continue to tune in the rest of the season. Alexis will be back next week, guys, so this will probably be the only solo episode of the season. And thanks for making it an awesome solo episode, and Christina, thank you for calling in. And we will catch all of you guys next week. So bye, guys. Take care.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.